There, that's better. Coming to you live from the top secret broadcasting bunker here at, we are broadcasting today from Bluegrass, Iowa. It's good to be here. This is Area 52, by the way, right next to Area 51. We have to keep moving to keep one step ahead of the New World Order, the Vatican, the Bilderbergs, which are meeting today. Over in, I think, in Virginia. I'm going to be talking about that today. Take a look. I'm thumbing through the new JCPenney catalog today. And I've got several things that I'm going to kind of group together here. And I've got my can of King James open. But somebody asked me about that in an email on Tuesday, and I didn't get a chance to look at it. They said, what does that mean? Am I hearing you right? What does that mean? Well, I admit to you, it goes back. It's an old joke. It's sort of a I don't know how to describe it. But it has the idea of if someone is lobbying a verbal attack against you, you say, do you want me to open up a can of something on you, which means I'm going to unleash my fury. And there was a guy in our church several years ago, just got saved, and it was just so exciting to see him because he started going to work, and all these people at his work that said they were quote-unquote Christians, which I got something to say about that today. And but anyway, he started talking King James. King James, all the only Bibles, King James. And he was coming to me asking me questions about how to defend the Bible and how to answer some of the stuff that they were throwing at him. And he had learned quite a bit in a short time. Somebody at his work came after him and said, something about the King James. And he said, don't make me open this can up. Don't make me open up my can of King James. And so that stuck in my head. And I think that is, I like the term because you and I are getting barraged with attacks. We're getting attacks from the heathen, the pagans, the witches. We're getting attacked from the liberals. We're getting attacked from everybody else in the world. We're getting attacked from the Muslims. We're getting attacked from it. Then we're getting attacked from the other church people. We're getting attacked from the Bible study people that you go to. We're getting attacked from churches that we attend where people have been taught that the Word of God is somewhere else. It doesn't really exist. Oh, it is. The Word of God is in the original manuscripts. And so we're getting barraged. And so what I tell you to do is, I can't remember who came up with this quote, but defending the King James Bible is like defending a lion. You don't defend a lion. You just let the lion out, and he'll defend himself. And in this case here, I think you ought to just open up your can on people and just give them scripture. But thumbing through the JCPenney catalog today, Linda, a lady in our church, brought me this. Everything now is turned into a cause. And so here is the JCPenney catalog picture that's coming out this month. What do you get here? What, just kind of give me your first impression here. Okay. Does your gaydar go off? Yep. Let me read the caption here. It says, first pals. What makes dad so cool? He's the swim coach, tent maker, best friend, bike fixer, and hug giver, all rolled into one or two. And then it says at the bottom, real life dads, let me get this where you can see it here. Real life dads, Todd Koch and Cooper Smith with their children, Claire and Mason. Yes. They are sodomites. Now, that just makes it look like that everything is so normal. In fact, they really are gay. I mean, look at the gay expression on their face. Okay? They're so happy. They have children. They're very respectable people. We should honor and celebrate the diversity that these two sodomite men represents, right? We should celebrate that. Meanwhile, if we catch your child wearing a Jesus shirt to school, we're going to go after him. Now, you need to remember something when you see this. Okay, you need to, and I always like to be G-rated. But you need to remember that these two guys kiss each other on the mouth. That's what you need to remember. Okay? That looks all smiles. And we say, see, they love each other. You need to remember that these two men kiss each other on the mouth. Et al. If you don't know what that means, that's a little Latin, by the way. It means and other things. Then I had a guy send me this today, and I've got some scripture. We're going to be in Psalm 12 today. You might want to go ahead and open up your can. A guy writes an article. He's got a blog, and I've only read one article from here, and so I don't know if the rest of them are any good, but I like what he wrote here. And he sent me an email this morning, and he reminded me, and he told me about it. And I told him I would use it today because I like it. Hillsong, which is, I don't know who this guy is. I've heard of him. They're the people that make all this praise and worship music. They're the forerunners of the praise and worship stuff, especially in Australia. As Bala puts it, the world's largest prison. And but anyway, Hillsong comes out with these record albums. They lead the praise and worship, and a lot of times you just got to listen to what they're saying, some of the words and some of the lyrics, because after all, I mean, we're going to like the music. We're going to like the music. There's music out there that I promise you your flesh is going to like. We're going to, oh, I love this kind of music. You start thinking about the lyrics and start thinking about, and I'll just say it this way. I think music is a delivery system for words, phrases, and ideas. That's what I think. I think music today is a delivery system for messages. It's a way to get them in. If I were to ask you if you could, and even if you're not a singer, if you could sing the jingle to five popular commercials that you have heard now or throughout your life, you probably could. You get them stuck in your head, and we don't even think about it, but they're there. And the subtlety of what our adversary, the devil, is trying to do nowadays, it's supposed to go unnoticed, but we should notice it. So here is an album that they have called Aftermath. It came out February 2011. And this particular watcher caught the lyrics. The lyrics are, in a moment of glorious surrender, you were broken for all the world to see. Now, here again, you examine popular Christian contemporary music. You examine that stuff, and you find out that you're going to be hard-pressed to find the name Jesus in this music. You just look for it. And I suppose that while you're listening to this, you're supposed to assume that it's talking about Jesus, because after all, it's in a church, isn't it? I mean, they're singing this. They're playing this on the contemporary Christian radio station in your town. They put the albums in the Christian music section of Walmart or Kmart or Sam's or wherever it is you do your shopping. Or online, Amazon.com. And after all, they're singing this music in your church with everybody's hands raised and everybody's doing the little dance that they're supposed to do. So you find the word you in these songs, but you have to ask the question, who are you? Who is this you they're talking of? Now, there is a way to identify Christ and a way to identify the Antichrist. And I'm going to kind of talk about that today because I think it's important. There's a way to identify the real Jesus and a way to spot the fake Jesus. It's like somebody in retail who handles large bills. They're trained to know the counterfeit from the real. They're trained to know these things. So how do you identify the real Jesus from the fake Jesus. You read the Bible. You find out what the Bible says about the real Jesus. And you find out the clues that the Bible's given you as to the fake Jesus. Then you get it. So when you see the fake Jesus, and my personal opinion is from what I see in the scripture, I think that you and I, if we are alive at the coming of our Lord, I think that we're going to see the fake Jesus. I think that we're going to see this guy and go, that's him. That's it. That's the fake Jesus. That is another Jesus that we have been warned about. But I'll tell you that all of the other churches are going, oh, it's Jesus. Oh, praise you. Okay? I think his name's going to be you. All right? So anyway, the lyrics are, in a moment of glorious surrender, you were broken for all the world to see. Okay. Then it says, lifted out of the ashes, I am found in the aftermath. Lifted out of the ashes. Does anybody have any recollection from the Bible about Jesus coming out of the ashes? Is there any story in the Bible about Jesus rising up out of the ashes? I actually went to a wedding in a United Methodist church in the St. Louis area, South County area of St. Louis. And on the windows had stained glass, and one of them caught my attention because I saw the Triquetra there. And I just looked at that, and I'm going, I took a picture of it with my cell phone. Wasn't very good. And then I got to looking at their other stained glass, and on one stained glass was, and I kid you not, there was a picture of, or the stained glass image was a fire, flame shooting up, and a bird rising up out of this flame. And I went, that's the phoenix. That's the phoenix. And I know this was years ago, and I'm going, that's the Antichrist. The phoenix is the Antichrist. He puts himself down. He's thrown into the pit, into the flames. He rises up out of the ashes. That's the phoenix. That's the beast, the Antichrist. It's not Jesus. And to me, this is so simple. Why can't anybody figure this out? Why is this such a mystery to them? That they sing this song not only in the what church? The Hillsong Church. Not only are they singing this there, but now this music is spread all over the world. And everybody's swinging and swaying to the groovy sounds that are coming from the Hillsong Church. And they're singing along to the song that says, you were lifted out of the ashes. They're singing praises to the beast. That's who they're singing praises to. And why can't they get that? Why can't they understand that? I have an answer for that, and I'll get to that here in a minute. I'm covering some things that I was going to cover last Tuesday, and the Holy Spirit took control, and I'm glad that he did. And I just was kind of asking the Lord today about what to do, and a verse came to my mind. Let me show you a couple things that I was going to deal with last Tuesday. You remember Juanita Bynum. Juanita Bynum. Now, let me kind of give you a little history here. Juanita Bynum is one of these preacherettes. She is, and if you just listen to the gal, she is mouthy. All right? She is mouthy. I would not want to be in the same room with Juanita Bynum. She was... There's a YouTube video of her and her former husband, who was some bishop or something like that. And they were up on the stage, and she was teaching. And it was, I mean, the vulgarity that was coming out of her mouth was just atrocious. It was disgusting. She was talking about how all the men in the church need to fantasize about their wife, and that her husband, she had taught him to fantasize about her. That was before the smackdown, because her husband beat the snot out of her they had this big divorce, this big split. Now Juanita is out there, and she's the one that was on Facebook typing in tongues. She is the one that not only was she typing in tongues on Facebook, but she was praising the many-breasted God that she worshipped. And if you remember, I dealt with that on this program because it was a false translation of the Hebrew El Shaddai. And the King James Bible never translates El Shaddai as the God with multiple breasts. It never does. The King James translators translate it as the Mighty One or the Mighty God. That's the correct God. That's the right one. But Juanita was praising the many-breasted God. If you remember, Ashtaroth or Isis or Venus, which pick a name, their statues are of this goddess with multiple breasts. And this is how she feeds all of her little harlot children. This is who Juanita, and there was even somebody, I remember the broadcast, somebody during that broadcast was arguing with me through email. This is why I don't let people call in, by the way. Arguing with me by email, saying that you're wrong, it really is, it's to be translated El Shaddai. And this is where I get back to my life's work, my life's ministry, my life ideology. And that is, I think the King James right 100% of the time. I think the translators got it right. I think they were led by the Holy Ghost to put the words in English from those three unknown tongues. Let one interpret, just the way 1 Corinthians 14 says, and they got it right. And what I'm telling you is that if someone else says, well, now the original Hebrew, the original Greek says that really this is the many-breasted God, don't believe it. You don't have to believe what they say. They're lying to you. The King James Bible is not ever going to lie to you. You need to have some peace in your heart about what's right in this world. And if not even the Bible that you grew up on, if not even the Bible that our churches were, our whole country of America was built on this Bible. If you can't settle it in your mind that there's got to be at least one Bible right in the world, then you will have no peace, you will have no comfort, and I'll tell you this, you will have no security, zero. Because if God could not maintain his word for thousands of years, what makes you think that he can hold your salvation in his hand? What makes you think that? And so Juanita Bynum was typing and praising the many-breasted God. And then somebody sent me these pictures of Juanita. Now, the person who sent me this was familiar with a sort of a Cuban-based, South American-based religion called Santeria. And Santeria is led by female prophets, prophetesses, which are basically witch doctorettes is what they are. It's a female-led religion, and it worships the goddess of the sea. And the Santeria practitioners, these women prophets, dress, I mean, almost exactly identical to what you see here. This is Juanita Bynum. Now, this is obviously some little shrine. I don't know the context of these pictures. I'm just looking at the pictures. And I'm not done. I've got more pictures. The context of this is she's got some kind of room where she has this mats on the floor. She's in her white gown with her white hat. Maybe she's going to go cook dinner. I don't know. And she has this shrine with a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, you remember this, okay? There's Mary on the Ark of the Covenant, and it's not right. Well, now, I will tell you that in these pictures, she doesn't actually sit on the Ark of the Covenant that I know of. But here's what she does. I'm just going to show you the progression of pictures here. So here she is, and now she is she's bowing. She's got three, you can see the three pillows there. So obviously this is something, some kneeling place that she has. And now I want you to look at this one. This is interesting. This is from Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." Here she is bowed completely. before this. I'm going to tell you that this is an idol that she's got. She's bowing before an idol is what she's doing. Here's, look at this one. She is bowing prostrate, laid out. Now, this is interesting. Here is a, I'm going to side by side this with a graphic of an ordination service in the Roman Catholic Church. Can I just tell you that this is Juanita Bynum practicing her witchcraft. That's what it is. It is Juanita Bynum practicing her witchcraft. She has the spirit of witchcraft on her. She is of the Word Faith group, which is pure witchcraft. And now I want you to understand this. The thought process behind these actions are that if I do this, then God's going to release something to me. I mean, this is what you do. If you believe this concept, that means that if you perform these little worship functions, then God is going to release some supernatural thing to you, and you're going to be empowered. I keep hearing that word, too, empowered. Oh, God's going to empower you. We're going to be empowered to do this. And if you do this, you're going to release this supernatural empowering to you. You're going to be empowered. And I just don't like words that I don't find in the Bible. I'm suspicious of them and suspicious of their origin. So that's Juanita Bynum and all that follow her. And then I am going to show you probably about 2 minutes of this. And there is a particular interesting aspect of this particular video. This is the televangelist / charismatic / false prophet / idiot. And when you see the video, you'll go, that guy's an idiot. Steve Muncy. He is a cohort of Jesse Duplantis and Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn, and he's of that same ilk is what he is, and Juanita Bynum and all of these others. And I'm going to show you the idiocy, but there is a particular aspect of a, I'm only going to show a portion of it. It's about, I don't know, 3 or 4, 5, 6 minutes long, something like that. And it kind of goes on and drags on and so on. He just does bizarre, stupid stuff on the stage. And I'm going to show you what Steve Muncy is doing. And then I'm going to tell you what I think is actually the most interesting and telling part of this particular video. Here it is. Come to party down now. It's your survival, get up. Somebody shout! More Cirillo there in the background. Not unless you want it to be. Turn my mic up real quick. I speak against everything that comes to destroy the purpose in your life. Learn about your finances, your future, where you can't even sleep at night. I speak against depression and fear, every attack from the enemy. This is your day, the Lord made it, baby. God has set you free. Come on. This is it.
Has
Okay. That's it. Had enough of that. Here's the most interesting thing that I saw in this video. Okay. You saw what he did. He got up on a table, picked up a bucket of, we hope it was flour, but he may have been with Bill Clinton and it was pure cocaine, but who knows? Takes this bucket of this huge can of flour, dumps it all over himself, throws the can in the choir, throws the can in the congregation. Here's the most interesting part of this. Not the fact that this idiot, this lunatic clown named Steve Muncy doing these antics on the stage, acting like an idiot, like there's something wrong with his head. But the fact that there was, on one part of the stage, a group of, I don't know if you've seen this, a group of pastors, because they like to go in direct violation of the book of James, is that they will reserve special seats for some of the bigwigs. That's in direct violation of the book of James. You're not supposed to do that. You're never supposed to do that. I've seen a lot of churches where they'll put these big chairs and seats and stuff like that on the stage, and those are for the exalted speakers who are up on the platform. I don't do that. I don't do that here. In fact, we used to have them up on the stage. I don't do that. I don't think anybody should get a better seat than anybody else in the church. Who do we think we are anyway? But anyway, they got that group of people sitting back there in the background. Then they had the choir back there, and as soon as he dumped it, you saw the choir jump up. Woo! And then the congregation throws the barrel out into the crowd, and you see people taking it and trying to dump what's left on themselves. And they're hooping and hollering, and I didn't actually show you the whole thing. The camera scans the crowd. Huge, huge number of people here. Probably 3,000-5,000 people here in this church house that are glorifying this guy and glorifying this idiot that's doing this. And let me tell you where I'm going with this. These are people that you work with. These are people that you do business with. These are people that are your neighbors. These are people that are in your family. They're relatives of yours. These are people who have a fish on their car or on their business card, who are trying to make you believe that they're a Christian. They're trying to make you believe that, you know, hey, we're Christians, just like, oh, you're Baptist? I'm sorry. But that's okay, because I used to be Baptist too. I've had them say that to me. I used to be like you are now. And these are people all around us that outside of their congregation, they appear normal. They appear normal. They might have good standards on the outside or whatever. You may never know. But when they get into their buildings like this, and for some strange reason, the Holy Ghost doesn't act like this outside of the church building. Have you ever noticed that? If Steve Muncy got out in the middle of town at the town square and stood up on the stage and dumped flour, he would be arrested. And they would say, what is wrong with you? But he does it in a church, and everybody thinks now that God is in the building because this guy is acting like a fool. Where does this stuff come from? Where does this stuff come from? Okay? Where does that come from? Psalm 12. And what got me in Psalm 12 was this verse came to mind. I was thinking about this. The wicked walk on every side. This is verse 8, Psalm 12, verse 8. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. They take Steve Muncy, pay him well, send millions of dollars to his ministry, of which he gets the most of it, and put him up on a stage. Thousands of people go see this guy, and they exalt him, and he's vile. There's something wrong with him. He has a spirit on him. He has a drunken spirit on him. And they exalt this guy. They exalt Benny Hinn, who gets caught now. Not just rumors. He gets caught walking into a hotel room with Paula White. There's another one. Let's exalt Paula White. Put her up on a platform. Give her millions of dollars. Let her do something that in her position is wholly unbiblical. That is, for a woman to be up on the stage teaching and usurping authority of a bishop or a pastor or the men of that congregation. She is to be silent. Does she not know the word of God? Obviously doesn't. Obviously, she gets her own private words from God. In fact, if you listen to her talk, that's what she'll tell you. Ooh, God's given me something else. Ooh, praise the Lord. Oh, we want to hear it, Paula. We want to hear it. God told me it was okay to walk into a hotel room holding hands with Benny. God told me it was okay to have a private meeting with Vatican officials while we were in Rome together. God told me to tell you to send all your money in. So we exalt these people. We put them up on a platform. We do the same thing with the contemporary music singers. It just, for some reason, if you have this talent where you can actually do and play music, for some reason, that must mean that you're more spiritual. I've been to concerts, and I'll tell you this, I've even been to Southern Gospel concerts. I play Southern Gospel music before this program. I like the styling. I like the words for the most part. I think they're biblically based. But I got out of this thing a long time ago of thinking that because they're on stage and because they can do things on a piano that I can't do and I get jealous about it, or because they can sing the way they do, that necessarily does not make them more spiritual than me. And you need to get over that. And in some cases, and some of these people have come out and they've spilled the beans. I talked to one individual who was a Southern gospel music tenor singer, and these guys are high dollar, because if you can sing those high tenor notes, man, you got a job. And this guy was telling me he knew of at least three tenor singers in Southern gospel music that were sodomites, homosexuals. One of them had to come out of the closet, which was Kirk Talley. Others that were not even saved, men that were Masons. Names that he reeled off to me, he said, these guys are adulterers. They got a gal. They get a gal everywhere they go. And they just tell me this stuff. And I just quit putting these guys up on a platform. Before somebody comes and sings my church, I got to know who they are. I got to know who they are before they get up on my church. We're having a group July 22nd called Southern Raised. I've been watching them now for 3 years. I know their testimony and I know who they are. And I've talked to other pastors and I highly recommend them. We're going to have a good time July 22nd here at Bethel Church. We're going to include you in on it. But for some reason, we think that these people should be exalted because they have gifts and talents. And I want you to, I don't know if you've noticed this. I like to sing. I have a fairly decent voice. I like to play piano. I like to play instruments and so on. I have a talent. One of the things that I don't want to do is for people to be following my music skills and say, oh, I like him. I just like how he does. Oh, I like how he sings. Oh, I like how the. And so I try to be low key on it. I don't just get up and make a big deal about how I can sing and how I can do this, because to me, it's more important that I get the word out than anything. Now, I know that I can be a blessing in singing songs, and I understand that, but I refuse to be exalted on the basis that I have some talent that the rest of people don't have. But we exalt these people. We put them up on a platform. The Amy Grants of the world is who I'm talking about. The Sandy Patties, who could have an adulterous affair, then leave their husband and go be with the guy that they had the affair with, like Todd Bentley. We put these people up on a platform as if they're the spiritual leaders. And I guess we deserve it. It's what we do. But here's what happens. Okay, here's the byproduct of that. Here's the result. When we start exalting all the fornicators and the adulterers and the sodomites and the idiots by putting them behind the pulpits of our churches and our religious gatherings. This is the fruit of it right here. And I didn't really mean to use the word fruit as a pun. But this is the fruit of it. When the vilest men are exalted, the wicked walk on every side. You can't get around this anymore. You can't escape it. They're in your family. You've got family members that are sodomites. You may not know about it yet, but they are. You've got people that you have to work with. You have to work with them, and you have to keep your mouth shut about them being sodomites. You can't say a word. You have to send your kids to school with sodomite teachers and sodomite bus drivers. You can't say a word about it. And so the wicked are walking on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Let's go back to the beginning of Psalm chapter 12. I'm like David here writing this. Help, Lord, help. For the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. God, we need help. We need help, God. In verse 2, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. I don't know if you caught the lyrics to what this idiot Steve Munsey was doing. There was somebody singing some kind of half rap music in the background, and it was all about how money's going to come to you. That's vanity. Getting money has nothing to do with Bible Christianity. It's the vanity of this world. It grows wings and flies away. That's why we have a bird on the back of the $1 bill. It's just going to fly away. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. You see, here's what the Bible's telling you about guys like Steve Munsey. They get up on the stage and they're wanting to pretend now to show you that they have some spiritual anointing that they want to impart to everybody. Oh, and this is really the reason why I'm here. I'm here because God wants you to have this anointing. Can I tell you that if God wants you to have an anointing, he's got a whole can of oil right here that he'll open up on you. But that's not really why he's here. He's double-minded. He has a dual purpose for that. What he's really all about is doing a shakedown of you while you're there. In other words, you hand in the money. We're going to pass the plate. We're going to pass the big Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets, and you're going to put large sums of money in there. And when it's all counted up, if I don't think I have enough, I'm going to come out and say, God told me that there's others out here that can give more than that. I'm going to shake you down until you ain't got nothing left. That's what they're doing. They're speaking vanity. They're flattering with their lips. They're promising you that some great big super dyna-whopping mojo diddly great event is it's just around the corner. It's almost here. You have to get ready for it. And they're priming you up. And it never happens. And you know what? It never happens. And then they come around again 6 months later, tell the exact same thing again, and you fall for it. Fool you once, shame on me. Fool you twice, shame on you. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. They're going to get what they've got coming. Verse 4, who have said with our tongue will we prevail. Oh, listen to this. Doesn't this sound like the word faith tongues movement? Name it, claim it. Using your mouth, words of faith, empowered words. What are some of the other expressions they use? Joyce Myers talks about faith-filled words, positive confessions. And if you make negative confessions like, that cracked me up. See, that's a negative confession. What's going to happen probably within a week is that you're going to have a mental breakdown because you said that cracked me up. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That's witchcraft. It is absolute witchcraft. Juanita Bynum does it. Steve Munsey does it. And all these other people are doing it. And they're telling you that with their lips, we have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own, and who is Lord over us? And I'm going to tell you, at the core of the word faith movement is the idea that you control God with your mouth. When you say it, God has to do it. When you say it, you're releasing faith, this faith energy, this faith law to go to work for you. It's the law of attraction. It's witchcraft, pure and simple. And they're telling you that God now is submissive to you. It's like the preacher who preached this young lady's funeral. That's he was of the Word Faith crowd, and he said, God lost something terrible here. And it's the idea that this poor girl died when really all she had to do was say, I'm alive, and God would just come in and give her life again. Stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. So it says, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own, and who is Lord over us? It's all about the power that you see. If I speak these words, then God is going to give me something. If I speak this this Babylonian tongue thing that I don't, what was you saying? I don't know what I was saying. If I speak this, then that helps me be a better Christian. Let me tell you about your tongue, and I'm say this to everybody that's listening and following, including mine. Do you remember what Isaiah said? You remember what Isaiah said? He was standing before the throne of Almighty God, and he wasn't. I'm going to tell you something. Isaiah was not standing there bossing God around. Isaiah, in the midst of the glory of Almighty God, said, "Woe is me! I am a man of unclean lips." And I'll say it to you, and you can say it right back to me. Mike Hoggard, you are a man of unclean lips. Thank you. That's exactly what I need to hear. I don't have any power with my mouth. I don't have power this. I can't just name it and claim it. But anyway, verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. And I'll tell you something. If you want to get into the midst of an arrogant crowd of people, get into the midst of, number one, the Word Faith Charismatic / Neo-Pentecostals. Get in their presence. They'll make you feel about this big. Number two, and some of you are not going to like this statement. If you want to get around some of the most arrogant, proudful, bloated people in the world, you get around some fundamentalist, independent, Baptist, King James only people. Pastor Mike, you didn't just say, yes I did. I'm not saying all of them. I know for a fact there's some good churches. Got a call yesterday or the day before from a pastor I am always so blessed when a pastor will call and say, Pastor Mike, man, we appreciate what you're doing. That blesses my heart. Not that I'm some big thing that, oh, I'm glad all the pastors are coming around to me. I don't care about that. What I care about is that pastors are out there leading their churches the right way. But I can tell you that I have been in some independent, fundamental, King James quote only churches that will make you feel about this big. If your hair's not cut the right way, and if your dress is not the right length, and if you don't have on the right kind of clothes, and you don't do this the right way, and you don't do this that way, they're going to make you feel about that big. And I do not believe in a Christianity that puffs up. I do not, and I don't think it's biblical either. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right that you take the grace that God has given you, which was a free gift, and use it to make yourself look better than everybody else. I don't think that's right. So it says, for the oppression of the poor and the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, and I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. And this is my favorite part. This is my favorite part of the whole Bible right here. The words of the Lord are pure words. Can we break this down for a minute? Do I have time? You know, I see you guys writing into me. And boy, I tell you what, I appreciate that. But let me just do this. I've got so much on my heart. The words of the Lord are pure words. Did you know that the word are is present tense? It's present tense. So when someone says to you, well, I believe the Bible was inspired and perfect in the original manuscripts. That was in the past. That was a long time ago. You can say, no, it says right here, it says that they are pure words right now. That's present tense. And that's just what it says. And so you say, I just believe what this says. In fact, anytime, and I'm just going to give you some help here. That's what I want to do. I want to help people. Because you write me, Pastor Mike, how do I defend off all these people that are trying to give me all these intellectual arguments about the manuscripts and about King James onlyism as a cult and about how it's racist and how it's this and how it's that. See, they make up all these little arguments against you and what you believe. They do all this stuff knowing that they can't quote scripture to prove you wrong. They can't do it. So all you got to do is open up your can of King James and go to Psalm 12 and say, let me tell you what I believe. You don't like the phrase King James onlyism, so we won't use it. But let me tell you what I believe. And you start reading. I believe that the words of the Lord are pure words. And you just just tell them that is present tense. That's present tense. That's right now. The words of the Lord are pure words. And if they say something, and here's what they're going to say. But see, that was written back in David's time. It was written 3,000 years ago. How can you say, you know what? I'm just telling you what it says. They're not going to be able to give you a verse to prove it wrong. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So I believe this Bible has been purified, and I believe that right now it are pure words. It is right now, presently, pure words. And then verse 7, this is what I believe. I believe that God said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so I just believe that, number one, they are pure words. They have been purified. And God promised that he would keep them and preserve them from David's generation forever. And that's what I believe. And so I believe that I have a Bible that's pure. And so here's what they'll do. And this is where you got them. They're going to open up their can of NIV, which is like opening up a stale soda. You know when you open up a stale soda, don't you? You open up a fresh can of soda, you open it up, and it goes, pfft, and you go, oh, I got a good one here. And you open up a stale can, and instead of the pfft, you get nothing. So they're going to open up their can of NIV, and they're going to say, no, see, the NIV says that God will keep us from such things for a long time. You say, see, that's why I don't believe the NIV. This is why I believe the King James Bible, because I think it's telling me that God's word is preserved. And see, right there in your verse, in your Bible, it doesn't tell you that. That's why I don't believe your Bible. And then it says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. You know why? They have no word. They have no word. Thomas writes in, your Tuesday, Thursday live stream will be missed next week by me. I will nourish from my can of King James solo. Then I pray a safe journey for you and those with you. I appreciate that. Next week, reminder, I will not be here next week. If you send, and I'm going to have my daughter Alicia going through my emails every day, doing what I do every day. If you write me an email next week, I will not read it. I promise you, I'm not going to read it. I'm not taking anything to read emails with next week, okay? And it's not because I hate you, okay? It's I love you and I want to be refreshed when I come back, all right? Debbie writes in, Pastor Mike, in reference to the PepsiCo fetal tissue issue. That's pretty interesting. PepsiCo fetal tissue issue. Isn't there a scripture that states that people will consume their members? Yes, there is. I don't happen to know where it is right now. But anyway, it's there. Chris, how you doing, Chris? Writes in, Pastor Mike, please explain, if you would, 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. KJB, does this mean if a born-again believer, him or himself, defiles his body, or if someone defiles a believer's body? Now, let me tell you what this defilement is, okay? This defilement is not smoking cigarettes or eating lunch meat like bologna, and it's not drinking soda with sweeteners in it. That's not defiling the temple. I can tell you the health food people would make you think that if you just ate the right portions of the right kind of food, that you'll never die, you'll never get a disease, and that's not true. We live in a corrupt world, and even the best of foods in this world is not going to make you live forever. So I don't think for a second, that eating something, ingesting something, or even puffing on a cigarette, which I hate. I hate those stupid, nasty things. I hate them. That is defiling the temple of God. There's something else. When you raise up an image of a false god in your heart, and this is where I think that the temple is going to be defiled one of these days when the Antichrist comes and people take the mark. I think that is the defilement. And the Chris, you're asking me, what if born again people do this? And I'm telling you, born again people won't do it. Born again people are not taking the mark of the beast. Okay, to me, it's pretty simple. Wesley, Pastor Mike, just a quick note on the picture of the mother and child in Time magazine. I noticed two additional things. Number one, the words God of Cricket above the little boy and the fact that the boy's wearing army fatigues. I kind of see where you're getting at there. I never noticed the fatigues, but, you know, maybe so. Maybe there's something there. Jennifer writes in, love the sermon last night. I didn't intend to, but I preached last night on slothful laziness. That has already been posted on Sermon Audio. The Watchers packets are going out today. Quite a feat now of getting these things out. The amount of work that goes into duplicating all these sermons and getting them out in a timely fashion is getting quite large. We have to have a lot of help here. And so I appreciate all of those who help financially. And I know I don't talk much about money, but I appreciate those of you who do help financially. Believe me, it's needed. Okay? Trust me on this. It is needed. So anyway, appreciate that. But you can listen to that sermon online. Paul writes in and says, hello, Pastor Mike. Pastor Brother Mike. Ready here in Holland to listen to your message. Good to hear from you, Paul. I appreciate. Oh, this is Ricky's brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to have you with us, Paul. Love you, buddy. Lonnie and Bobby, I love these people too. Bilderberg. Oh, yes, I was going to talk about the Bilderbergs today. And Joe Biden's mysteriously gone on vacation. He's not telling anybody where he's going. Think about that. And I'll just tell you this. Anytime the Bilderbergs meet and all of a sudden some of the leaders of large corporations or institutes or heads of state all of a sudden are not in the office that day, guess where they are? They're at the Bilderberg meeting. So anyway, yeah, I just think that's where, and by the way, George Bush is coming in to Washington today to meet with Obama. They're going to unveil the George Bush mural or something like that. And so I'm thinking, let's see, Bush and Obama and Joe Biden all at the same place at the same time. Yeah, just something fishy about that. Gary and Barb wish me happy late birthday. It was a good one. And you can see today, people have noticed, I'm wearing my hooded sweatshirt today. I woke up today. We have weather moving in today in the St. Louis area. The temperature range went from the mid-90s down to the upper 60s, a change of 30 degrees in one day. And it is killing me today. My body aches today. And so anyway... they write in the blab it, grab it bunch. I like that. Have taught that this scripture in Matthew has to do with binding and loosing the devil. Jesus said, and I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Just wondered your thoughts on this, Gary and Barb. Gary and Barb, I tell you what my thoughts on this, and I'm still working through this and other issues in the Bible. Think about when Satan is bound and cast into the pit for 1,000 years. Think along those terms. The Catholic Church claims this verse as that they have a right to say who's saved and who isn't. They don't have that right. But I'm thinking of this concept of these devils being bound and cast into the lake of fire, being bound and cast into the pit, or things that are loosed. And think about the beast being loosed out of the pit. I think that's the direction we go in when we study this, and I think as the time approaches, we're going to see it more clearly. So it's a great question you asked, and I appreciate that. Ruben asks another good question. Pastor Mike, does God forgive tattoos? Yes. Yes, absolutely. See, God forgives everything, Ruben. God forgives everything. Then he asks, what is your opinion on interracial marriages according to the words? There is nothing. And if I get an email on this from somebody, it just stinks. I'm not going to argue it. But you cannot find a ban on interracial marriages in the Bible. You can't do it. That is your own prejudice speaking or your own preference. Now, it is not my preference to want to be married to, let's say, a black woman. It's not my preference. Do I think they're godly women? Yes. Do I think that one of them could make me a good wife? Absolutely. But you cannot inject your preferences or your prejudices as saying, well, God made it this way. Because it's not unbiblical. There's nothing wrong with it. And Moses married an Ethiopian woman, Solomon did. There's been, and I'm just telling you, there's nothing wrong with it. Let's see here. Lisa and Sass from California, have a great vacation. I will. Thank you. Let's see. Somebody's writing in about the pastor that died from a snake bite. Shouldn't have been handling them rascals. AJ, how you doing, AJ? Someone posted a blog on Facebook about this and how it was so great, and I shared it with a couple of people saying that I can't believe how people are saying this is great. Can't see incredibly sad irony of the ad. The JCPenney ad. Yeah. People are posting on Facebook saying, isn't this so neat? Just remember, you need to remember that these two men kiss each other on the mouth. That's what you need to remember. And they do it in front of their children. Okay. Jennifer's writing in about Ellen being their celebrity representative. Ellen and the 666 price tag that she had. Hi, Pastor Mike. Matthew chapter 8. Can you explain why Matthew has two demoniacs and Mark and Luke has only one? This difference has been bugging me ever since I read it. Elizabeth, this is a real simple, I'm going to give you a real simple answer to this, okay? It's two different stories. It's two different stories. One is happening in one place and one is happening in another. They kind of look the same, but they are two different stories. Okay? So you go compare those now and find out. But it's telling you two different stories. Bonnie, I don't usually like contemporary Christian music either. However, Laura's Stories music is an exception. She actually does name Jesus. Any comments on it? I don't know her, and I don't know her music, so I can't comment on it. Alan writes in, I thought I would email you this. Here's the latest Newsboys song. You're speaking about the NIV confusing roaring like a lion in the Lion of Judah. Anyway, the lyrics of a song from the Newsboys is, my God's not dead, he's surely alive, he's living on the inside roaring like a lion. I've heard that. And which lion? Okay, which lion? How do you know? Roy Marie, the Roy Marie family of Singapore, praises and thanks be to the Lord God for watchmen like you. Appreciate that, you saying that. And God bless, guide, and protect you always. Absolutely, we need that guidance. We need that protection. Lonnie and Bobby are complaining they keep losing me today. I don't know why. Is anybody else having problems with the feed? Dennis writes in, if I wanted to use a translation of the Bible to better understand some of the passages, would you recommend the ESV version along with the KJV? No. And let me help you with something, Denny. The King James is its own dictionary. It's its own commentary. And what I'm going to ask you to do, Dennis, is be patient with God while he teaches you. Here's what's going to happen before Tolo. If you will just commit your mind to staying with the King James, even if you don't understand it, the more you read, the more you're going to understand. And I don't encourage anybody to get any other translation and use it to help out. I've had that temptation a long time ago in the past, and I don't do it. So I just want to strongly encourage you, have patience and stick with the King James Bible. Anyway, love you all. I gotta go. Got a busy day today. I was supposed to come in and record the Watchmen today, and I just didn't feel up to it today. And so I'm going to come in tomorrow and do that. It's going to be on drunkenness. And it's going to be rough. Okay? It's going to be harsh. Okay? So be ready for it and be praying about it. Got a lot of loose ends to do before we head out on Monday. And by the way, I am announcing I'm going out of town on Monday. And I just want to tell you that my house is surrounded by men with guns. And if you think I'm making that up, you're crazy. Okay? Anyway, John, my buddy John, will tell you from the Netherlands. Anyway, I love you. God bless you. We'll see you. Bye.